Lord, isn't God good in the way that he brings people together? Isn't he good the way he draws lives together, while he takes lives that we wouldn't see, people we wouldn't know, and he's got a wonderful thread of linking his grace, his love to people's lives. Isn't God good the way he brings people that you wouldn't know, and his love draws them together in this place? We had the privilege this morning of seeing lives woven together in God's grace. This morning, you had the privilege of hearing lives that have come to a place that have said yes to Jesus, yes to his way, yes to his calling, yes to his leaning. It's a privilege. And we're going to pray for those candidates now that they will go on and spread that love to other people, and there'll be more of this love that God has for them poured out to other people. Let's hurry, pray for them. Father, we thank you for the lives that are woven together by your grace. We thank you for the way that your grace does not discriminate. We thank you for the way that your grace draws people's lives. Even when we don't know them, you have been calling them from the beginning. If we are correct from the scriptures, you have called them from the foundation of the world. You knew them before they knew themselves. This love, this cord of love, we pray that that would be such a major feature in their life to come. Amen and amen. Baptism services are fantastic. People's lives have already been spoken. Their lives are a living testimony of what God has done. And so what I'm doing is rounding up some of what their thoughts are. Today's message is titled this, simply, Following an Unconventional God, Using Unconventional People and Unconventional Times. Following an unconventional God, using unconventional people and unconventional time. Just now, we saw an unconventional way of doing things. Haven't been in the church for ages, calls up Pastor Glenn, divine arrangements, and here we are, his son getting baptized. That's unconventional. No, sorry, that's unconventional. That is truly unconventional. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you must be you have to. Conventional wisdom will keep you in a box. Traditional wisdom or traditional kind of religion will get you boxed into a particular way. But if you're going to follow God, you've got to tread the path an unconventional way. Should we do it? I've got a bit of time with you, so I've got to do it really quickly, put a timer on to make sure I finish in time. Why don't you go to 1 Samuel 21 verse 10. It's an Old Testament passage, Old Testament life, and it speaks of this unconventional God using unconventional people doing unconventional things. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Is that not David, the king of the land? Is not he the one they sing about and sing about in their dances? Saul slayed 1,000, but David 10,000. David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in the presence. While he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gates, and saliva was running down his beard. He was in a pretty bad way. Achish the king said to his servants, "Look at this man, he's insane. Why bring him to me? Am I short of madmen that you would bring him, this fellow here, to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" This is an unusual passage and an unusual behavior that David is showing in this particular time. But it does relay the point that I've been saying to you in the beginning of this message. God uses unconventional people to do unconventional things. If we are to be honest with ourselves, and if we are to analyze the world we're in, isn't the world moving way too fast than we can comprehend? If we are to be true to ourselves and true to where we are in life, the world of technology is moving so fast that before you know it, you could become a dinosaur very, very quickly. if you're not a dinosaur now. Do you know what I mean? Well, hold on, well, sorry, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm going to keep it clean. But the truth of the matter is, the way that technology has changed the world we're in through technology, through medical means, through travel. If I said to you at least 7 years ago that there would be electric cars driving around the place and Britain will be lit up with loads of electric cars and pumps and etc. and hybrid cars, what would you have said to me? I'm not sure. Or what about going into a supermarket and what they call those self-windows tills that they serve themselves? Yeah, what they self-tickets, yeah. What if I said to you that we wouldn't be needing as many people doing that because you'll be spoken to by a machine going, you know, how much you need to pay? The world is changing in a rapid pace. It's changing in such a fast way. The technology that we're in is moving in such a way, and easily you could be outdated. Dated in what you're thinking, dated in the way you're approaching. There was an article I read the other day that they were saying that technology in our phones is way more complicated than the technology they use to send a rocket to the moon. The world is, we live in unconventional times, unconventional people doing unconventional things. One thing we can be sure of for the candidates who are getting baptized and for us today is this truth. The world is always going to change. The question is, are you going to change with it? No, the message of the gospel is still the same. It remains the same. But the methodology of how we reach people must adapt and change. We are living in unconventional times, following an unconventional God with your unconventional methods. If I said to you 5 years ago that the whole world would have been slowed down because of a mass breakout of COVID, you would have looked at me and said, no, I don't think so. That's unconventional. So the question we're asking now to you today and to everyone listening is, if you are going to follow Jesus, you've got to follow him with a willingness to listen to him on a daily basis. If the world is unconventional, the methodology of the world is unconventional, the world that we see is unconventional, the truth of the matter is, we're in this place of following him afresh. One of the Old Testament truths and dynamics within the text is this. Over and over again, where we see the passage in here, Saul is a major character. Now, around that period of time, God's people were looking for a leader, a military leader, a king, to take place. They saw the conventional wisdom of the tribes during the day, which we're in the book of Judges at the moment, and they said, I want to follow everyone else. So they pressurized the prophet to pick and choose a king. They choose Saul. He looked absolutely conventional. Tall, handsome, he looked the part. Fantastic leader. But the truth of the matter is, what I love about God is the people that you would choose are not always the people that he would choose. The people that look the part are not always the part. And as you see in this story now, and as you see in the lives of people get baptized, they're unconventional. He gets picked and chosen. And one of the major themes in the Old Testament that you would come across is what we call hidden power. The people that you may have picked and choose may not be the ones that God will push forward to. What do we see in the Old Testament passages and in Judges? Over again, God is using hidden power. Judges 16 and 6, the story of Samson and Delilah. And in this story, we see this man. Now, if you know the story of Samson and Delilah, you've got this, the image of Samson and Delilah is this tall, strong, ripped, buffed, and looked the part guy. Arnold Schwarzenegger character. But the reality is, when Delilah has a conversation with him, she asks him in Judges 16 and verse 6, again, where is the secret to your power? This implying that the way he looks doesn't appear to be obvious. Rather than looking like an Arnold Schwarzenegger character, he probably might have looked at a Mr. Bean character. Because she's asking, where is your power? God uses the least likely to do the almighty. God uses people in such a unique way. And in truth, what do we see here in this text? We see the rise of David, again, a shepherd boy who, in truth, overcomes Goliath. He doesn't look the part. He shouldn't be able to do what he does. But the truth of the matter is, when God gets a hold of a life, you can do the impossible. Amen. when God grabs a hold of a life, he can do the impossible. So David rises, he becomes prominent, he slays Goliath, he moves forward in his relationship, not just with God, but with the people, with Saul. Saul loves the way he rises, loves the way he defends things. He becomes a military leader. He gets married to Saul's wife. He is famous. The uprise, the rising from where he was. But now, one of the biggest things that destroys or impacts David's life is this notion, jealousy. Have you ever been jealous of someone? Has someone been jealous of you? Watch out. Show me in people's faces. Jealousy. Saul is jealous of David, jealous of his rise, and now he's a fugitive. I'll give you all of that really quickly, just to give you a concept of where we are in this text. When we see David on the run. David's on the run, he's a fugitive. One of the things in Saul's life that's prominent with his relationship with God is a few things is this. Saul is picked and chosen and led, but in his relationship, he has this to and fro with God. He listens, he doesn't listen. He obeys, he partially obeys. He follows, he doesn't follow. He's in and out in this following. And he is now in the place where God is saying, I'm going to move my favor from you to David. And David's description in the Bible is that he's a man after God's own heart. David is now on the run. And he runs to this area away from Saul into a area where he encounters a priest. And this in this passage, we see that in 1 Samuel 21. He interacts with a priest. He's on a run. He takes consecrated bread. He's running away from somebody who's going to hurt him and damage him because Saul is now jealous and has threatened to destroy him. He's running. And he runs into this priest and eats the consecrated bread. And when he runs into this priest, his priest goes, oh, David, we know you're meant to be following God's way, but you're out here away from home. What are you doing here? He goes, I'm on the run. And he goes, but by the way, we have the sword of Goliath in this priestly place for you. The thing that you used in the past, we have it here for you to use. A key point in this text and for us to be aware of and for the candidates wherever you are is the truth of the matter is this is a major moment for your baptism, a major moment for your life. But don't build monuments of the past. What got you here, when you're following Jesus, when you move into the next level, it's a following and constant relationship with him that will take you there. Should I put that again? What brings you here with your relationship with Jesus is one point, but the need to listen to him every day and to follow an unconventional God who uses unconventional people and unconventional time is a constant relationship of obedience, listening, and following. So David sees his situation. He has the sword of Goliath. He's been told to use that. He doesn't use that. He leaves that where he is, and he moves, and he finds himself away from God's people. He finds himself with this king, Achish. That's what we see in this text here. And he does something unusual. Achish sees him. And as he's in front of Achish, he behaves and he acts in an insane way. Now, why have I done all this work for you this morning? Why have we spent this time in the text? And why have we done that? One of the biggest things I've seen in our walk with Jesus is this willingness to follow Jesus wherever. And for the candidates here, I want to say to you, this walk will not be just up. It may be down, it may be side, it may be around, it may be wherever. But your willingness to listen, to obey, to follow is crucial. We serve an unconventional God. He uses unconventional people in unconventional times. Let's look at from the text as we draw this message to a close. God is one that if we are true to say, if we want to follow him, we're going to take his uncharted path. Look at it in Mark chapter 2. You've got disciples, followers of Jesus. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue and it's absolutely full. They take this paralyzed man to this house. They can't get into the house because the house is packed and full of people in there. The house is full. How are they going to get in there? Well, conventional wisdom would say, just try to push through the door. But what's so amazing about what God does when you follow him, is he uses an unconventional wisdoms to get through to Jesus and to get through to God. So these disciples are coming to the door is full, the place is full, they can't get in. And what I love about these disciples, unnamed, or these helpers of the of this paralyzed man, what do? They look at the door, they look at the ceiling, they look at the door, they look at the ceiling, they look at the door, they look at the ceiling, and they say to themselves, we're going to take this paralyzed man up onto the roof, and we're going to break the roof, and we're going to lower him. That is the kind of people that God is calling us to be. Unconventional. Not the method of before is going to get us there. The message is the same, but the methodology is changing. Can you see the way that people have been drawn to this church in different ways? That is unconventional. When Pastor Glenn's talking about divine arrangements, that's when God's saying that to us as a people, wherever they are, the barriers, the hedges, it's not going to be formatted. They're not going to come clean and put together. They're going to come in an unconventional way. And are you ready to follow an unconventional God, do an unconventional message in an unconventional time? The time we're in is absolutely different. Amen. Can you hear me, church? Can you hear the message? So everybody going into the water of baptism have taken a path that's unconventional. Some didn't know him and wanted to see him at all. Some knew him all their life in the church. But either way, if you're going to follow him, you must take the path that is it's not trodden, it's not walked, it's not before. You can't take a template from someone else and add it onto your walk with Jesus. No, the walk with Jesus is a unique walk. That's the point I'm raising. To follow him is unique walk. If you spoke about David's life when he was anointed, when he was super young, he wouldn't be like, well, I didn't think I had to act like a madman in front of my enemies. That's not part of his CV. You see what I'm saying? But when you're trying to follow Jesus, you've got to take unconventional paths to get there. So what do we see? We see this man being lowered down and he receives his healing. What do we see? Jesus teaching in front of a mass crowd, and there's not enough food for everyone, and taking just fish and loaves and double it up. That is unconventional. What did Jesus say to Peter when he was on a boat? And he says, and he's riding this massive boat, and there's a massive, massive storm. He turned around and said, Jesus said, I bid you to come, and here come put Peter walking on water. That is unconventional. I'm talking about Jesus. If you're going to follow him, and I need to lay the foundation for Christian walk, if you're going to follow him, you have to prepare to be conventional wisdom says stay there. Conventional wisdom says stay inside the boat. Conventional wisdom says take the path that was treaded by someone else. But if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to shake the shackles of what other people say and step out of the boat and be an unconventional Christian. Again and again and again, the scriptures put an imprint, they put a pattern of taking this walk, walking on water. Even Moses, what did Moses, when he was in the desert walking around, here's a burning bush that can't be consumed. That is yes, it is. Amen. I say this to say that if we tried to put God in a conventional box, we would struggle to follow him. I've worked this morning to lay the foundation for you. If you are going to follow him truly, take up the path of unconventional wisdom, an unconventional time, unconventional God, moving in unconventional ways. Amen. Father, you shake us, you make us, you mold us. Sometimes the things you ask us to do, we're not quite sure we want to do it. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes the path that is trodden hasn't been trodden before. Sometimes what you're asking me to do is scary. But if we are going to follow you in this age of change and transformation, in this age, if we don't move with you and do the things you've asked us to do, we'll get left behind. So Father, now as we just lay this word at your feet, we say, Father, we say yes to your will, yes to your leaning, yes to your unconventional path, using unconventional people to do unconventional things. Amen. If you want to explore this unconventional God and you want to make a commitment to Jesus, please, I'll be at the end of the service. Glenn and Mike and the leadership team are here. And you want to speak to me just about that commitment. I want to make a better commitment. I want to follow this unconventional God. Christianity is meant to be absolutely an adventure. Right? Oh, no, you don't want me to do that. No, I want it to be predictable. If you're going to follow God, it's absolutely an adventure. And I want to pitch the gospel in its true totality, which is come and enjoy. But actually, it's an adventure. Where God would take you, I tell you, people know, it's way beyond your wildest dreams. I'm talking about God, you know. And so take up that challenge. Take up that adventure. Come and speak to me. I'd love to pray with you and explain a bit more what it means to follow Jesus truly and to take up that adventure. Pray in your precious name. Amen.